Let us take the Word of God this morning, if you have your Bible, and let us go to Psalm chapter number 23. Psalm chapter 23, and I have sensed the leading of the Lord to continue a little bit, speaking about our shepherd. I love the thought that we are God's sheep and that He is our shepherd. You know something, we live in a world today where we need a shepherd. And by the way, God refers to each and every one of us as His sheep. Now, today you are either a saved sheep or you're a lost sheep. I know when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 17, I became one of God's saved sheep. We're all sheep today, and we need a shepherd. In fact, this morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, the shepherd that we need. The shepherd that we need. Now, what an amazing truth that we find in God's Word today as we come to Psalm chapter number 23. And I want you to notice our passage. And I want to read this once again in just six verses. In fact, why is it that this psalm resonates with our heart and soul so very much? Why is it that all of us can relate to Psalm chapter 23? In fact, it is quoted so often, maybe in a time of trial or a time of trouble or a time of heartache, because we recognize that we need a shepherd. This morning, I want to present to you the shepherd that we all need. Psalm 23, we begin in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brethren, this morning, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the shepherd that we need. He is a shepherd like no other shepherd. In fact, He is our provider this morning. He is our protector. He is the one that preserves His sheep. In fact, Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. Now, what that means is that He never forgets His sheep. In fact, He never fails His sheep, and He never forsakes them, not one moment of the day. He is our shepherd. In fact, Jesus Christ knows His sheep. He knows their needs and is able to supply their needs. He understands the dangers that threaten them. You know something, we are living in a time when there's great dangers. Yes, there are physical dangers, but the greatest dangers are the spiritual dangers. We have an enemy this morning. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible tells us we are to be sober and we are to be vigilant. But who knows our enemy better than anyone else? It is our shepherd. The shepherd that we need. In fact, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He remembers our frame, that we are but dust. And yes, He knows our heartache and He knows our sorrow. I know that when I come to church to preach, and I'm so thankful to be your pastor, but I know that every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night when I stand to preach, I know there are people that are bearing heartaches and you are bearing sorrow. And I can seek to pray for you and to comfort you and to help you. But I'm going to tell you something. What you need is your shepherd this morning. The shepherd understands us. In fact, our heavenly shepherd has a shepherd's heart that is beating with love for His sheep. He has a shepherd's eye that is always upon His sheep. He has a shepherd's memory because He can call His sheep by their name. He has a shepherd's knowledge, for He understands all of our needs better than we even understand ourselves. Now, God uses this analogy, this illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. In fact, I want to tell you that the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. God does not refer to us as a lion or a bear or some great ferocious animal. God refers to us as sheep. And let me tell you something about sheep. There's lots of things about them. Sheep are the only domestic animal that cannot live without a shepherd. It has to have someone to help them. In fact, do you know that sheep are directionless? They do not know how to find their way. And wives, not just your husband, it's all of us, all right? Sheep have no sense of direction. If you were to lead a sheep into a certain field and to let them come out of it, they wouldn't know how to come out of the field. They have no sense of direction. In fact, sheep have no sense of what is good for them. Do you know that sheep will drink water that is bad for them, poisonous water, water that will put, no doubt, diseases and parasites into their body? They have no sense of knowing what is right for them and what is good for them. In fact, sheep are dependent on the shepherd. And folks, today, you and I are sheep. We don't know the right path to take. You and I do not know what is best for us. We need a shepherd today. But in God's word, I want to show you the shepherd that we need. In fact, do you know it's amazing that God gives us three different types of the shepherd that Jesus Christ is for us? In fact, we'll look at it this morning. We find that, number one, he is the good shepherd. Then we find in another passage that he is the great shepherd. And then thirdly, we will find that he is the chief shepherd. Now, what do all of those mean? It means something wonderful about who our shepherd really is. The shepherd that we need. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and would you turn from Psalm 23 to the Gospel according to John. John chapter number 10. And first, I want you to notice this morning that we have security in our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. We have security today. Now, you know, it's funny to me, and I remember moving here to Ohio, oh goodness, almost 8 years ago now. And we lived in Illinois, where I was a youth pastor for 12 years, assistant pastor. But before that, I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And boy, if you're in Tennessee and you don't like the University of Tennessee and the Vols football, they might throw you out of the state of Tennessee, you know? I mean, it's that serious, you know? I mean, people paint their trucks orange, you know? And it's just like, something's wrong here, you know? But when I moved to Ohio, it's just about that bad here, you know? In fact, someone told me recently, they said, Pastor, did you hear about the Michigan fan and the Ohio State fan? Now, look, if you're a Michigan fan here, then God bless you, all right? And we have a lot of fun with this, and it's good, clean fun. In fact, in our school, we have some Michigan fans in our school. We need to put that on the application that, you know, if you're not, you know, but anyway. And we give them a hard time, and we have a lot of fun with that. But someone told me recently that a Michigan fan in Ohio State were walking on the beach somewhere, just walking there. And you know, they came upon a bottle, and there in the bottle was the genie. You know, a great, there's no doctrinal truth to it whatsoever, but it's a funny thing, all right? And of course, out comes the genie, and of course, the Ohio State fan is the one who found it, and the genie came out and he said, all right, he said, you get three wishes, but I want you to know something, that whatever you wish for, your friend who is a Michigan fan, he gets double of everything that you wish for. He said, sounds pretty good to me. He said, well, I'll tell you what, he said, I'd like $1 million. And boom, he gets $1 million, and the Michigan fan gets $2 million. He said, well, I'd like to have a brand new Corvette. I've always wanted one. He gets a Corvette. Michigan fan gets two Corvettes. And then he thought just for a minute about his friend being from Michigan and all of that. And he said, you know something? I'd like to donate one kidney, you know? And so anyway, all right? Whatever you need, you know? And let me say this to you. We live kind of in uncertainty, do we not? I think about football fans and the uncertainty of if their team wins or does not win. But I'm thankful this morning that our security is not dependent on something that is uncertain. I live in an uncertain world. You live in an uncertain world today. In fact, if our trust and our dependence this morning is on something that is changing and something that is not secure. Brethren, our hope must not be in that. This morning we have a shepherd, and the Bible tells us that we can find security only in our shepherd. In fact, the very first thing that we think about is when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And brethren, when you come to know Christ as your Savior, you're adopted into the family of God, and you are secure in Christ for all of eternity. We have security only in Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Number one, we notice that we have security in our shepherd. In John chapter 10, let us begin, if you would please, in just verse number 1. And I want to read a few verses here. I pray that God would use this morning. The Bible says in John 10 and verse number 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." You know something? Here we find a great principle that Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd." And what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, I know what we may think. We may think, well, of course, Pastor, that is what a shepherd does. But I want you to understand the difference between Jesus Christ, the heavenly shepherd, and just the earthly shepherd who might shepherd the physical sheep. You see, the truth is, Jesus Christ did not have to die for the sheep. He willingly gave his life for the sheep. Do you know, in fact, that Jesus Christ, no man took life from Jesus. He gave of his life. In fact, Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, and Jesus could have protected himself while he walked on the face of the earth, but he willingly gave his life so that you and I could know eternal life, which is only through Jesus Christ. You see, the good shepherd, we find security in our shepherd this morning. If he was willing to give his life for you and me, then I want you to know something. We have security in our shepherd today. Listen, there is no security in this world. In fact, there is really no security in people because people fail. There is no security in things because they change. But there is security in Jesus Christ because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our shepherd. In fact, do you know that a shepherd would sleep at the gate of the sheep? Now understand what our passage is talking about. At night, the shepherd would bring his sheep into the fold, and there it was protected, and the shepherd would count the sheep as they were to go in. And you know, according to the Bible, that if there were 100 sheep and the sheep was counting them by name, he knew them by name, he was checking all of them and investigating their fur and making sure that they're healthy and well, and oh, that's what our heavenly shepherd does for us. But if he counted to 99, and there was one lost sheep, The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus would go find the lost sheep. You see, he is the shepherd who loves his sheep, who cares for his sheep. He watches over his sheep. We have security in our shepherd because he is the good shepherd. Listen, can I ask you a question? Who knows you better than the one who created you? Do you know that the God in heaven, who is our heavenly shepherd, is the one who gave you your personality? He gave you your parents. He gave you all the different dynamics about your life. Who is the one that could know you better than the one who created you? Your heavenly shepherd does. In fact, who could possibly care for you more than the one who is willing to die for you? That is our heavenly shepherd. This morning, I find security in the fact that my heavenly shepherd was willing to go to the cross and bleed and die for the sins of all mankind, but my sins. He was willing to die for me so that I could spend eternity with him. But not just that, but so that I could live here on earth, walking with my heavenly shepherd day by day. We have security in our shepherd. In fact, who could lead you more wisely and lovingly than the one who knows the end from the beginning? It is Jesus Christ, your heavenly shepherd. We have security of soul and life because the one who loves you is compassionate. He is caring. He is loving. He is the good shepherd. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go to the book of Isaiah chapter number 42. And just to share with you, I was reading the other morning, and when I came to Isaiah chapter 42, it made me think of my heavenly shepherd. Now, folks, this morning, you and I, every one of us here, as I said before, you are either a saved sheep today or you're a lost sheep. No matter who you are, you need a shepherd. Oh, listen, I'm thankful for friends, and I'm thankful for people that have influenced my life and people that I can get counsel from and all of that. But may I say to you that at best, men are just men. All of us here need a shepherd. We need someone who is perfect, someone who is sinless, someone who loves us with an unconditional love. And that is where we find security today. Listen, this world changes and people change and things change and our health changes, but Jesus Christ changes not. And that is where we find security. Isaiah 42, I want to read a few verses. Let's begin in verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter number 42. The Bible says, "Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Notice what it says in verse number 6. We're going to read on here. The Bible says, "The Lord have called thee in righteousness." And notice what it says. "And will hold thine hand and will keep thee." Aren't you thankful this morning that our heavenly shepherd is the one that holds us by the hand? Now, I think about this. This is very precious to me. We had the men and boys camp out on Friday night and Saturday. And well, we had kids going everywhere, you know. And they had things. You know what's funny to me? Kids, no matter, especially boys, if they find something, you know what they do with it? They beat other people with it, you know? It's just funny to me, you know? If you give them something, they're going to hit someone with it, you know? And someone brought some of those, you know, those pool noodles, you know, those long things. Man, those are great, great weapons. I mean, you know, when you get one, you just feel like hitting someone with it, you know? I mean, it's just kind of how it is. Well, those boys, man, they were running all over that, those woods, and just beating one another with those things. I mean, it was really good fun. It was really therapeutic, you know? I mean, I'm just telling you right now. But can I tell you something? I can remember seeing some of the dads come in, especially with their children being so small and little. They hold them by their hand. There's something very precious and very secure to a little child when he's holding the hand of his father. Boy, he thinks his father can do anything. He thinks his father can protect him from the wildest of beasts and the worst of monsters in the world. I mean, there's security with a child holding the hand of his father. Let me say this to you. Brethren, there is a God in heaven who created all things, and that God is holding your hand today. That's what the Bible tells us. He holds our hand. Sometimes we think, God, I'm slipping. God, I'm lost. And God, I don't know which way to go. But I want you to know, your heavenly shepherd holds your hand today. And the Bible says that he will keep us. Let's read on. I love this passage. We look in verse number 7. It says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I wonder today, maybe you're here this morning and you are blind. I'm not talking about physical sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight. Well, the Bible says that our heavenly shepherd, he opens the blind eyes. Maybe this morning you are in prison, maybe a prison of a stronghold in your life, an addiction in your life, something that is binding you, something that keeps you from being all that God wants you to be. Well, I want you to know your shepherd. We have security in him because he is able to bring us out of the prison house and to give us freedom in Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you something. There is security to know that he is holding our hand. He is the good shepherd. He was willing to give his life for the sheep. But number two, not only do we have security in our shepherd, but we have sufficiency in our shepherd. That means that not only is he the good shepherd, the Bible calls him the great shepherd. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Let's go to the New Testament to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Now, if you don't know where it is, just go to the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and turn back a few pages, and you'll come to 1 Peter chapter number 5. We have sufficiency in our shepherd. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. The good shepherd not only died for you, but here's what is wonderful. He not only died for you, but he lives for you this morning. That makes him the great shepherd. You see, Jesus Christ did not just die for us and leave us to our own devices or leave us to muddle about in this world in confusion and in fear. He is the great shepherd this morning because he lives for you and me. You say, well, how is he living for us? Well, one thing, he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. He intercedes for us. He guides us day by day. He has given us his children, his blessed Holy Spirit, who indwells us to be a comfort to us, to strengthen us today. You see, how does a flock, you think about a flock of sheep, how would they benefit from their shepherd dying for them? Now think of it. If the shepherd were to protect them from the wolf or from the bear or the lion, as David did when he was a shepherd. But what if a shepherd's life was to be taken in giving himself for the sheep? How would that do for the sheep? Well, really, he's their protector. He's their provider. And if the shepherd is gone, how good is it for the sheep? But this morning, brethren, I want you to know that Jesus Christ died, but he rose from the grave. He is the victorious conqueror. He is the one who ever liveth for you and me. He is the great shepherd. That means that we find our sufficiency in the shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also are partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There the Bible tells us that he is the chief shepherd for you and me. And by the way, the Bible goes on to say that he is the one that receives, that we will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Brethren, our Savior is not only the chief shepherd, but He is the great shepherd this morning. I want you to listen very closely. I believe that in the deepest recesses of your heart and of my heart today, there is a longing and a hunger for a satisfaction. You want something to satisfy you. In fact, people look for different ways to satisfy themselves. They might look for things that they can do and to be a part of that would satisfy the hunger within their heart. Some people do it by working a job and by trying to make all the money that they can make. There's nothing wrong, obviously. We have to work. God gives us the ability to work and God gives us the money to take care of our families. But if we are living just for money and what money can buy, in fact, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll never be satisfied. If you live simply just for the things that you can obtain and the things that you can get, you'll never be satisfied. In fact, someone said it this way, God created every man and woman and boy and girl with a God-shaped void in their heart. And let me tell you this, only God can fill that void. He is the only one that can satisfy. We can only find our sufficiency in Jesus Christ this morning. Only through Him. In fact, may I say to you, what will satisfy you today? In fact, who knows what will satisfy your deepest needs better than the one who has made you? As your Creator, our God, our Heavenly Shepherd, sees, He sees what our needs are going to be for today. He knows what our needs will be for tomorrow. He knows what our needs will be 5, 10 years from today. You see, Jesus Christ is the one who satisfies us. Years ago, I heard the story about a little boy that loved pancakes. Now, most boys love pancakes, all right? But this little boy was almost to the point to where his mom was concerned about him because he almost was becoming a glutton when it came to pancakes. I mean, he just wanted to eat them and eat them. So one day his mom said, I'm going to fix him from being gluttonous about eating pancakes. And she thought to himself, I'm going to make him as many as he can eat. And she was hoping it'd make him sick so that he would not desire to be gluttonous about the pancakes. So one day she said, son, I'm going to make you pancakes this morning. He said, oh, great, Mom. And so she made them. He ate them. She made more and he ate more. And she just kept pouring the batter and kept making pancakes until finally she said, son, would you like some more pancakes? And he said, no, ma'am. He said, in fact, I don't even want the ones that I've already eaten, you know? Well, can I tell you this morning? So often in life, people are seeking. By the way, every one of us here today, you are on a search for something. You're on a search for something. You're looking for something. Now, can I tell you, if you're looking for anything other than God, you will never be satisfied. Now, I'm not looking for God for Him to save me. He has already saved me and I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I am still seeking after Him to know Him and to walk with Him and to know more of what He would have me to do in my life. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to seek the Lord while He may be found. You know what that means? That means we are to seek God while He is speaking to us, while He is dealing with us. Seek Him while He may be found. And this morning, you will never be satisfied unless you are seeking after Jesus Christ. What are you looking for? By the way, when we look back in Psalm chapter 23, we notice something about the Lord. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Would you take your Bibles and go back to Psalm chapter 23? Because I want to show you something that I think is very important. In fact, years ago, a little girl had memorized Psalm chapter 23. And the little girl had got it all down, and then she began to quote it. And she got it pretty well. In fact, I kind of like the way that she said it. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. And instead of saying, I shall not want, she said, I've got all I want. Can I tell you today, if the Lord is your shepherd, you've got everything you need right there. Within Christ is everything. But why are we not satisfied today? Well, for every cool drink that God gives us from Him, the devil rushes up with some other kind of cool drink for us to try to satisfy. You know something? The devil wants you to try to find satisfaction in anything other than Jesus Christ. And by the way, you will never find satisfaction. You will never find sufficiency in anything outside of Christ. Yes, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but the season has consequences. And even though we may be on a search, a hunt, to find something to satisfy the hunger and the crave within our heart, it will never be found outside of our shepherd. Now, I love what the Bible uses here in Psalm 23. And I want you to notice it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I want you to look at the word Lord there. It has all capital letters, L-O-R-D. And every time you find that in the Bible, it is capitalized because it means Jehovah. You say, "Well, Pastor, what is significant about that?" Well, Jehovah means the self-existing one, the one who has never had a beginning and the one who will never have an end. In fact, another name for the Lord is the I Am. Do you know that Jesus, when He referred to Himself and as God, as He talked to Him about Himself, He didn't say, "I am God, I am this." He just said, "I am." In fact, when we read, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is Jehovah is my shepherd. The great I Am is my shepherd. You say, "Well, Pastor, how is that significant for us?" It means that the Lord is supreme. There is no other God. In fact, He is supreme control of this universe and all that happens in your life. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. In fact, it literally means I Am. And you say, "Well, Pastor, how significant is that?" Are you hungry today in your soul? He is the bread. Are you in the dark today? He is the light. Are you searching this morning? He is the truth. Are you lost? Then He is the way. You see, this morning we might think, "Well, this is what I need, and this is what I need. I need a new start here, and I need a new place, and I need this." No, this morning you need Jesus Christ. He is the sufficient shepherd. He is the I Am. In fact, I believe that a lot of our trouble today and a lot of our problems today is simply this. We are seeking for happiness, and we might even say, "God, I'm seeking for my happiness in You," but we're doing it in the wrong way because we're seeking and looking for happiness and what God can do for us, or in what God can give to us, rather than rejoicing in that He is our God. You see, this morning, can you just rejoice in the great I Am, that the Lord is my shepherd? His name is I Am. He didn't say, "My name is I Give," or "My name is I Do." God created each and every one of us that we will never find happiness and full satisfaction outside of Jesus Christ. Can I say something to you men and to you women who are married? God is the one who created and invented marriage. It is God's ideal, and it is good in the eyes of the Lord. One man and one woman to be married for the rest of their lives. That's God's ideal. But let me say this to you. If men, if you are thinking that I will find my total fulfillment and satisfaction in life with my spouse, you are thinking wrong. And ladies, if you are thinking, "Well, I'm going to find all of my satisfaction and fulfillment in life in my husband," you are thinking wrong, because God never created it to bring you total fulfillment and total satisfaction. It is only through Jesus Christ. He is the great I Am. What do you need this morning? Jesus is the answer. Are you in darkness this morning? He is the light. Are you struggling today? Are you dealing with health issues? Are you dealing with sorrow and heartache? He is sufficient. He is our shepherd. In fact, the Lord is my shepherd. He is saying, "I am your happiness. I am your sufficiency." Number three, not only do we find security in our shepherd, He's the good shepherd. Not only do we find that we find sufficiency, he is the great shepherd, but number three, we find serenity in our shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Now I want you to notice some things. Why does the shepherd make his sheep lie down in the green pastures? You know that the shepherd has to make the sheep do it. But why does he make them lie down in the green pastures? And why does he lead them beside the still waters? Can I tell you why? Because they would never do it on their own. In fact, often in our lives, the Lord knows how prone we are to wonder. The Lord knows how many things in our life cause us to fret. And many of us have made decisions that are the wrong decisions, and we have regret in our life because of those decisions. And you know what we do? We're just like the sheep that is walking about, and we're so fretting. We're anxious, we're worried, and we're consumed with all of the things in our life and the wounds that have hurt us, the scars throughout life, the heartache, the trouble, the sorrow. But the shepherd has to make us lie down, because it is only through the shepherd that we find serenity, we find peace, we find rest in him. And by the way, when the shepherd of our lives makes us lie down, he brings us to a place of rest. He brings us to a place of quietness. And in that moment of quietness, can I tell you what we hear? We hear his voice. And when we're resting in Jesus, that's trusting in him, that's waiting on the Lord to lead us. Do you know that most of us, we are the most impatient people on the face of the earth? We are. In fact, we kind of laugh about it today. If you have to wait for 2 minutes at a fast food restaurant, you're pretty mad about life, you know? And it's just kind of how our society is today. And I'm as guilty as anyone. But we get to where we are impatient and we're not waiting on the Lord. And the Lord has to make us lie down in green pastures. I think sometimes the Lord says to us, just lie down. Rest in me. Be still and know that I'm God. But we don't want to be still. We want to do something. We want to make it work. We want to make it happen. But our heavenly shepherd says, be still. I believe he says to us, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. I believe he says to us in Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Can I ask you something this day? Are you at rest with God? He's your heavenly shepherd. He's not going to make a mistake in your life. He's not going to lead you in the wrong path. He's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. He's going to take care of you. He is holding you by the hand. He is your heavenly shepherd this morning. We can trust him. We can depend upon him. Do you know there's times in our life when we get away from our heavenly shepherd? We run from him. Is it not something that so often the very thing we need, we run from it? We run from the very one who can heal our heart. You see, today when the shepherd makes the sheep lie down, do you know what happens when sheep lie down in the green pastures? And I'm not trying to be inappropriate here, but the sheep chew their cud. God made them to be that type of animal where they literally bring what they have already eaten back up, and they chew on it once again. There's a great analogy there that, brethren, when you and I rest in God and we trust in him, you know what happens? We can think about how God has always taken care of us. We can bring it back to mind. Look, this morning, if you stopped and thought about it, there has never been a time in your life when God forsook you. There's never been a time in your life when the Lord failed you or he was not there to guide you or strengthen you. Oh, there's been many times when I have strayed from him. There have been many times when my heart has been rebellious against God and his leadership in my life. But brethren, may I say to you, when I rest in the Lord, I begin to think back to how God saved me. And I began to think back to how the Lord, boy, I remember God answering that prayer and God leading me in that path. And boy, I don't know how I would have ever gotten to this place, but it's our shepherd. And guess what? When you're reading God's word and you're putting the word of God in your heart, when you rest and you're in trusting in the Lord, guess what? The word of God can come back to your heart. And you can think upon God and His word. You're knowing the Lord. You are being still and knowing that He is God. This morning, I want you to know that God is calling us to rest in Him. You know something? All of us are like sheep this morning, but we need a shepherd. Only in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will any of us find security for life. And this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, it is only in Jesus that you will find security. Death is coming to each and every one of us. But without Jesus Christ, you can never know that you're going to heaven when you die. Never. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can find security. Only in Jesus, the Great Shepherd, will we find our sufficiency. Only in Jesus, the Chief Shepherd, will any of us find serenity in life. Only in Jesus Christ. Folks, this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know. I don't know what heartache and what trouble and sorrow that you have. But I want you to know something. There's security in Jesus. There is peace. There is rest in Him. Let's look to Him today. Let's trust Him today. And let's call unto Him. Today, if you're without Christ, come to Him. Today, if you're troubled and restless in your life, look to the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer.